It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo champ.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I see pictures of Trista on the field in Atlanta. Meta.
All right, yeah.
She's there for Meta.
Yeah.
These are my two favorite teams growing up.
Pretty big gig.
Really?
Well, I know Ohio State. I didn't know Notre Dame.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a... I mean, I would, if I could go back, I didn't really have it figured out well enough to want to root for the teams you were supposed to hate. Miami was a team you were supposed to hate. Miami Hurricanes.
Sure.
And so that meant Notre Dame.
Yeah, right? I get that.
I don't think I backed into Notre Dame like that, but Catholics versus convicts was pretty good.
Yeah.
So Notre and Ohio State, that's family.
I couldn't pick a side between Miami and Notre Dame. I didn't like
what is that?
I never could get with Notre Dame from a very early age. It just never made sense to me why so many people like them. I get it now, but like as a kid, it's like Notre Dame what? And then Miami, I wasn't a huge fan of that whole scene. So
your Notre Dame would have been Montana.
Well, right, yeah.
Late 70s.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just never really... I liked Bo Schembechler. And I liked Barry Switzer. I liked Oklahoma and Michigan, I think, were my two favorite college football teams as a kid.
Because of the coaches?
Not so much because of the coaches. More Michigan because of the... Really, okay. Michigan because of Woody Hayes and Ohio State. Like, I'm a little kid when Woody Hayes slugs that kid from Clemson.
Yeah.
So, I never liked Ohio State, so go Michigan. Oklahoma was hot. They had Wishbone and like Billy Sims and Elvis Peacock. I remember just like cool, flashy running backs.
I liked them too.
And it was really cool. So I dug into that.
Marcus Dupree.
And Nebraska seemed kind of boring to me, comparatively speaking, to Oklahoma, even though they really stylistically were very similar.
Sal, did you expand beyond Syracuse? Who were your teams growing up?
Yeah. It's a great conversation. I think I had a hot minute where I liked Miami a little bit in the mid-80s with Testaverde and that team. And then, you know, Penn State, Shane Conlon, they go to the Orange Bowl. I'm with you, Bulldogs. I never could get behind Notre Dame, but I was a Lou Holtz guy. I really liked Lou Holtz. And I think I liked Colorado a little bit when they got good for a hot minute, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. Bill McCartney, by the way, I think he just passed away last week. So, yeah, for me it was like some of just the personalities, the coaches. I mean, I was such a big college basketball fan. It was all about the coaches and the Big East and all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and of course, you know, followed Syracuse football, but not really nearly as close as basketball growing up.
Sal, let's talk about last night, of course. So the Bills survive it 27-25. This is I'm not going to be happy with this question. I'm just going to kind of get you started with how good of a job they did here in this game. You have the three turnovers by the Ravens that really were the difference, but it's obviously a great win and a super important one. How do you think, you know, how did they do it? Maybe more defensively than offensively, and just how successful were they, in your opinion, for what they wanted to do?
They did it by making the big plays at the critical times. And that really has been what has held them back in the playoffs over the last several years. Whether it's been something from the sidelines and coaching or allowing a big play at the end of a game in Kansas City, or it's been in Buffalo against Kansas City last year, not making a couple critical plays down the stretch, that's been what has held them back. In Houston a few years ago, you know, when they started this run even, you go way back to then, them not making a play, couple plays near the end of the game and giving up a couple big plays. Deshaun Watson scrambling around. I mean, really, that was it, guys. You look at the statistics on that side of the ledger. I mean, the Bills were really outgained in this game quite a bit by the Ravens. But this is playoff football, and that doesn't matter. You have to make the critical plays at the critical moments, and really what the Bills have done all year. And I have questioned all year if this was sustainable. Is it sustainable to get all these turnovers? And it hasn't been. It has been except for one game. And here they are again doing it again. They have to do it for one more week maybe. I don't know. And on top of that, they don't give the ball to you. They don't make mistakes. The Bills did not make mistakes yesterday. And the Ravens made mistakes. Whether you want to say the Bills forced them, which I think is absolutely true, at least in one case, but the Ravens made the mistakes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talked about it a lot during the week, I'm sure even with you leading up to this game, that I say you can count on them, but it certainly wasn't surprising to see Jackson be careless with the ball in a big spot. He had an excellent year doing that, just like Josh Allen, even better than Josh Allen as far as turning it over. But you get to the big moment, and here comes a throw sailed like way, you know, off target and way farther than it needed to be, right to Taylor Rapp. The play where he drops the – I said yesterday on postgame, like, Hamlin's got him by an ankle. If that's Josh Allen, like, good luck somebody corralling Josh Allen by grabbing a hold of his ankle in the first place. Okay, right. That's one thing. But still, like, let's for a moment, it's a D lineman, not Damar Hamlin. And he's strong enough, he's got Allen, and Allen just drops the ball on the play. I don't know, in that spot in a playoff game, I don't know if I'd ever be able to forgive him. That was such a terrible play.
And because it's the quarterback and Lamar Jackson in his past, it's going to be attached to him. There's no doubt. And not that it shouldn't be. It absolutely should be. They also didn't help him. Mark Andrews dropped a pass earlier in the game.
Right.
Derrick Henry dropped a pass he might have taken to the house early in the game. You know what I mean? Like, I think that the first drive they scored on it anyway. But, I mean, like, they didn't help him. Of course, what happened at the end of the game, no doubt about it. That's right. And, look, this goes back to the philosophy of, we get this a lot. You guys probably get it. I know I get it on the Extra Point Show sometimes. Fans always wonder, why do they play that defense, that zone defense? And, you know, yeah, they give up too many yards, and they allow people to be, you know, catch these balls in front of them. And my response always is, look, I get it. Like, you'd love to be sticky and stick them and all over them and man-to-man defense and knock down every pass. But the Bills' philosophy has been, we are going to make you work for everything you get. Eventually, you will make a mistake. We're not going to make those mistakes. Eventually, you'll make a mistake. And that is exactly perfectly what they did yesterday.
Yeah, we really have had that conversation all year, like sustainability of this and everything. And now there's two wins left. It's not worth arguing about it anymore with two games to go from a championship. Offensively within this is the running game. And what did you think last night of the Bills' offensive game plan? In the end, there isn't much here from Allen statistically, but on the heels of beating Denver, the Broncos and the Ravens, by a success rate metric, were the two best run defenses in the league, and the Bills were successful against both.
They were. I mean, they only ran for 4.1 yards a carry, but that's about over half a yard, or about a half a yard a carry more on a per-run basis than what the Ravens were allowing. It was tough going at times, but I'll tell you what I didn't like about the game plan, and then what I liked about the game plan. What I didn't like was they made it a little bit too easy to not open it up. Like, they didn't take many shots. They had one shot, a whole shot to Mac Hollins on the first play of the game that wasn't complete, and then you had that throw to Shakir that was complete, and then you had the pass interference. I don't think they threw the ball downfield at all, and I'm not talking about 50 yards downfield, even 15, 20 yards. Yeah. It just wasn't a lot of that, right?
There was one prayer on a blitz where Allen just chucked it down for Knox, and it was overthrown by like 15 yards.
Yes, that's right. He hit Kincaid over the middle on a decent play for like 10 yards. That was all you got.
Right.
And I really thought that was where the Ravens might be susceptible, guys, because they like to play one high safety. We talked about the perimeter players. I thought Cooper and Coleman would be in play, and they weren't. They were no factor whatsoever. I did not love that part of the game plan. The fact that you did stick with, okay, we're gonna make sure we don't make a mistake and force you to, kind of, I don't know, seemed to me like it was playing with fire a bit for a while, but it did work. What I did like, though, was, you know, that they did stick with, you know, the ground game that they are very confident in, that's going to wind up eventually getting yards with all different people, because whether it's James Cook or Ray Davis who come in with some nice yards, or then Josh Allen on a third down or a fourth down, they have so many ways they can attack you in the run game. They're so confident in that when you see it happening, it's not always going to, you know, against a team like the Ravens. You're going to get stopped sometimes. But, man, they're so good at it. And what they've done, this offensive line is so good at it, that, hey, they made it work at the end of the day against the best run defense in the NFL.
How about on the other side of the ball, Sal, what they did? Talk about, like, you mentioned the defensive style and fans. Like, yeah, we hear it all the time too, right? Like, soft, you're playing off, all this stuff. There were some tendency breakers yesterday. A lot of man coverage, a lot more than the Bills normally do anyway, throughout the game, especially in the first half when they kind of set the tone and built that lead that they were able to kind of hang on to, really, as the game unfolded. But more blitzing, more man coverage, and it seemed like, with that said, they also were pretty careful about trying to keep Jackson. There were a couple times where they gave Jackson way too much time back there, but I guess I want to say that was by design. We want to keep him in there rather than get him out on the perimeter and have him be a threat to run and hurt us that way.
Yeah, very much by design. I'll get to that. There's a lot here, and I'll say let's start with they clearly had a focus on we are stopping Derrick Henry. He is not controlling this game on the ground. We are beating him. We had this discussion all week. That was my preferred option. There's no one right answer, but their option and their choice was we are making sure Derrick Henry does not get off in this game, especially early. He had 8 carries for 21 yards in the first half, and I think that was a big reason why you know they were able to get to where they were in the second half and the Ravens had to play from behind a little bit. They got it going in the second half a little bit because the Bills allowed them the opportunity to not have to just be one-dimensional. So I think that really helped, obviously. But they brought guys up. They had extra guys in the line of scrimmage. They had linebackers at the line of scrimmage. They sold out for the run. And I don't know if you guys have seen, but this year there is a metric that shows that the Ravens have had like their rate of separation for their wide receivers is more than any other team in the league, their pass catchers. Mm-hmm. Well, now you know why. You're committing so many guys to the box that you're going to be vulnerable in the back end. I had that question a lot today. Why are there open receivers everywhere? Well, because you're using more people to go cover the run. So guess what? Now there's going to be less people on the back end. And if you're going to use more people, you're going to have to play a little more man-to-man defense now. You can't play a zone and a too-high shell if you have an extra guy in the box. You can't play all that if you have your linebackers down. You got to run with people. You got to play man-to-man. They were forced to do that a little bit more. So, yeah, I like it from that standpoint. And as far as Lamar is concerned, a great example of this is I just rewatched some of the game. If you go back and watch the touchdown pass he threw, he's down there. Like the one that almost tied it, like at the end of the game.
Likely.
For the two-point conversion, right? Likely. Thank you. He has so much time. But go watch that play, guys. Watch A.J. Epenesa specifically. He literally takes the defensive lineman, throws him to the ground. Looks like he wants a clear path to Jackson. He stands still because they just don't want him to run. Like, right. He's not running. Now, what the trade-off was, unfortunately, Jackson had so much time, those guys couldn't hold up on the back end. I mean, these guys are running around trying to cover back there. They couldn't do it, but you could see their objective was, you are staying in front of us,
yeah. And
I'm going to stand in my spot, and then when you start to make a move, then I'll attack you. Otherwise, I'm standing right here, and you're not going anywhere. And I also find it very, very fascinating that I don't recall one time where Lamar Jackson sucked the ball into Derrick Henry's belly and pulled
it
out and ran.
I wonder, Sal, I haven't gone looking for this. I've pondered a few times whether or not, even going back to last night's postgame show, whether that was driven by the conditions. Because I know I brought it up with you, and I bugged Mike with it all week long. Like, once we had a real handle on the weather, when I think about them turning the ball over, it was a lot of that sort of subtle ball-playing stuff that they're trying to fool you with, and I thought they could get in trouble with that they didn't do it at all. I mean, I haven't heard an explanation yet. I just wonder if – obviously it was by design. I wonder why, if they were scared of using it in the conditions.
I believe Harbaugh was asked about that in the postgame. He gave a pretty generic response and just, you know, gave the Bills credit on defense. And, yeah, it could very well have been the conditions. And maybe it was just because they knew the other part could be, hey, they're selling out to stop the run. Sure, it might be risk-reward. At that point, if you're Todd Monken, maybe you don't want to put Lamar in that position to pull the ball out and you have all those defenders just, you know, swarming down on him. Maybe that was part of it as well. I mean, let's remember, if you're selling out to stop the run, and we saw this in the second half a couple times, all it takes is Derrick Henry to slip by one tackle, and he's at the second level, and maybe that's why they felt that was also, you know, the preferred option. But I thought it was fascinating they didn't even try it, really.
It's just such a great win because other than that particular dimension of the Baltimore offense, you got a lot. I mean, they didn't have Flowers, but Jackson got the ball downfield kind of all night. It's the turnovers. You know, they didn't punt in the game.
Yep,
and
right.
You know, the Bills have had a couple games this year, or Allen specifically, where he's got this combination of yards and no turnovers and all these things happen. The Ravens had that game last night where they had 70%, you know, completion and no turnovers and no punts, or not no turnovers, but no punts and right. A series of things. And like, they were the first team ever to lose in whatever combination of stats that was. All right, so it's the Chiefs again. Have we ever talked about them? Kansas City, I guess the challenge is finding new ways to talk about this rivalry. Sal, I can't imagine any reason why the Bills wouldn't feel great going in there.
Yeah, I think the Bills are very confident going to Kansas City. They've seen it happen before. They've played it out. They've beaten them there a couple of times. Of course, we know what's happened in the playoffs, a couple of times in the playoffs, obviously. But they've gone there in the regular season. They've beaten them. They've beaten them at home. They know what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do. This has become like a division game. Like we've said, this is not – there are no secrets here anymore, right? They know what the Chiefs are going to do. Chiefs know what they're going to do. And it's just about who's going to make the plays and who's going to make the mistakes. That's what it's come down to once again. So yeah, I think they're very confident, you know, preparing for this game and heading to Kansas City.
We know that the Bills were as healthy as you could hope to be, I think, going into this playoff game last night. And I know McDermott spoke already a couple of hours ago, Sal, but what is the update for people who don't, you know, hadn't heard it earlier today?
Well, we'll start. We have a not so good and a mystery. The good is encouraging, at least, after what we saw from Taylor Rapp getting carted off yesterday and in a lot of pain. He had a hip injury. He was listed as day-to-day by McDermott. Now, it's only Monday. Sure enough, day-to-day could be week-to-week by the time we get to Wednesday. I don't know. But at least we know, as of now, day-to-day, that's an encouraging sign from that front. Christian Benford, we found out today, is in the league's concussion protocol. This happened on the onside kick. I went back and watched, and there was a big collision. Right behind him is where Rasul Douglas grabbed the ball. Rasul Douglas said he played shortstop his whole life, which is a routine grounder, by the way. Benford really, him and whoever he hit there, you know, rocked each other pretty good. He got rocked, and, you know, that's why we didn't get a report on it. We didn't know, so it came in late today, and Sean McDermott said he's in the protocol. The mystery is Matt Milano. Matt Milano was on the field the whole game. And on, like, the third play of the final series, he chases down Lamar Jackson. Jackson throws it. Matt, you know, touches him, hits him. Matt looked like, just very briefly, if you watch the video, like, the All-22, you can see him kind of limp a little bit. Just kind of like a jump up. It wasn't even that very noticeable. But he never went back in, guys. He left the field. And he wasn't on the field for the final three plays or the two-point conversion. Sean McDermott was asked about that today. Now, I will say, Sean was asked, did he come out because of a health concern or injury? He said, not that I'm aware of, but he followed that up with, I'm still getting updates on from Nate, our training staff, and haven't spoken yet. And so I don't know what that means. Huh. Now, I will also tell you, there's been some internet sleuthing going on, and you know, there are the Bills post pictures from the locker room after the game on their website, and Matt's in a couple of pictures in the locker room with his team and a couple of me smiling. So let's just hope everything's okay, but it's at least something on the radar.
Got a thought on the other game, Sal, Washington-Philly?
Yeah, look, I think Jaden Daniels looks fantastic. He looks amazing. This kid is calm, cool, and collected. It looks like there's nothing that phases this kid or is going to bother this kid. I love watching him play, but I think this is a tall task to go to Philadelphia, face that defense, the way they're playing, their front, especially their front on offense and front on defense. They, you know, overall, they may be, you know, the most well-constructed offensive defensive lines in the entire league. They're dynamic, and, you know, it's what Saquon's doing. So I'm going to take the Eagles at home against a division rival in a championship game, a rookie quarterback on the road. But Daniels has already won twice in that situation, so I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I wonder how limited, if at all, Hurts will be by the injury, because he had some trouble moving around, certainly, as that game, you know, got to the finish line.
That guy is
tough.
Yeah,
and I mean, that could be a high-scoring game, right? I mean, I haven't looked at the weather there. I have looked at the weather in Kansas City. Looks like it's not going to be like it was in Buffalo. It looks like it may be around 30 degrees. So hopefully, you know, we'll have some pretty clean conditions for the game. I haven't checked out Philly, but they had worse weather than Buffalo did yesterday for their game. That's for sure.
Yeah, and NBC, like, knew it was coming, like, to the minute almost. Like, these teams they know second quarter it's going to get bad. And, you know, playing accordingly.
Yeah, I think they took a commercial break, you know, the end of quarter break. They talked about that, the timing of it. They took the break, came back, and snow was falling.
There it was.
It was like right on time. Yeah.
Right on. Thank you, Sal. We'll talk again throughout the week.
All right, you guys got it. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I think I saw snow this week in Houston. And New Orleans.
Oof.
Yeah. Atlanta. Like, the South is going to get some snow. They love it.
Oh, they get around great. Yeah, they're born for it.
My niece and nephew coming up from Florida to see snow for the first time. Really, it was Saturday. They got slush. They mostly got, there was snow on the ground, but it was sort of gross on Saturday. Everybody wanted to go sledding. Just like the worst sledding day. It was like 37 and rain.
Yeah, that's not where you do it. You don't want to be there. No.
Hence the board games. Cards versus gravity, etc. The Sabres are headed, apparently, for defeat. We'll see. Under 3 minutes to go, they're down 5-3 in Seattle. Check out the end of the game, if you like, on the Bet 1520 and presumably a postgame show with Brian. For us, Football Monday on WGR, Eric Wood joined us earlier to talk about the Bills' win and the game's, well, the Chiefs' game ahead. And we talked about Washington-Philly for a minute with Eric as well. That's all coming up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.